It's good to see everybody back again this evening. In the evening sermons, I have been doing a series of lessons from over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 10. And tonight we're going to continue that study. When you go over to the text in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10, these are the Christian attributes that we as Christians should be adding to our faith and focusing in on growing in each and every one of these to where all of them are in us and abounding. The text says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. Then when you drop down to verse 8, the goal is, he says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then again in verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. We've studied virtue, and we've studied growing in knowledge. Now this evening, what I would like to study with you is growing in self-control. Now, when I say the word self-control, how do you define it? Well, it's one of those words that's kind of self-defining, isn't it? It is the control of yourself. I am going to take this lesson on self-control and break it down into two parts. And there's a reason for that. Because in order to understand how to control yourself, there is got to be a control of the mind and the thoughts before you ever do anything else. The very beginning of getting control of yourself is getting control of the mind, getting control of the thoughts themselves. Because everything you do, all your actions, all your words emanate and come from the mind. So that's where you have to get control of to truly have self-control. Over in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. Everything you do, as I said, it begins with the mind. The words come from the mind. The actions come from the mind. And so if you are going to honestly seek it, having self-control and be serious about it, then you need to be working at getting control of the mind. One of the main verses on this subject is found over in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, which says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keeping the heart, keeping the mind. The mind is the heart, the same thing, and used interchangeably in the Bible. So the idea is keeping your heart, keeping your mind with all diligence. What does it mean to keep your heart and keep your mind? This is the idea of having control of what is coming into the mind, guarding what is allowed to pass into the mind through the senses. There are five senses through which we receive information into the mind: touch, taste, and then there's the sight, and then there's the smell, and then there's the hearing. The primary senses through which we are receiving information is through our eyes and through our ears. And so if you are going to be serious about self-control, then you're going to be striving to control your mind, guarding your mind, keeping your mind with all diligence. You can't let your guard down. This is something you got to do and stay on it and stay on it and stay on it, because from the heart, from the mind, spring all the issues of life. Everything you are saying, everything that you are doing is emanating and coming from your mind, your brain. And so you've got to guard it with all diligence. The next verse I want to look with you is over in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. Here he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now look at this next phrase. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There is the ultimate goal. Bringing every thought into captivity. And when you have control even of the thoughts themselves that you're thinking, the end of that and the end of the goal is the obedience of Jesus Christ. How do you do this? How do you tear down the strongholds that he's talking about in this context? How do you get every thought into captivity? Romans says in Romans 8, 5 through 6, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those that live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now look at this. There's two mind possibilities here. One is the carnal mind. The other is the spiritual mind. You need to realize that within your mind right now, a battle is taking place. The battle between the desires of the flesh and the desires of the spirit. They're contrary to one another. So how do you diminish the desires of the flesh and the mind of the flesh and grow to where you are more and more spiritually minded? Because you're never going to truly live the Christian life unless you are spiritually minded at the very beginning, at the very start. How, again, do you grow to be more spiritually minded? As I told you from Galatians 5, 16 and 17, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Have you ever asked yourself this question? What's wrong with me? Have you ever said that to yourself? Because here it is, a temptation, and you say to yourself, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to give in to that temptation anymore. I'm going to stop doing it. And I'm serious this time. Here comes the temptation, and you give in to the temptation again. And you start wondering, what is wrong with me? This is what's wrong with you. This is describing the battle that's going on inside your mind. The carnal-minded and the spiritual-minded. Both of these desires are in you. The desire to do the will of God and the desire to live according to the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So, which one's going to win? Which one's going to win? Is the carnal-minded going to be what dominates your thoughts? Because if you are carnally minded, you're going to be feeding that thought process more and more and more, and it's going to affect the way you see and think and do. Everything is going to be affected by the way you think, the way you see. It's ultimately going to be manifest in the actions. So, you have to put out the fires of the flesh and feed the fires of the Spirit. In Proverbs 6 and 27, it says, can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Now you think about that. Hot coals. Can you just go down there and scoop them up and bring them in close to your body and not get burned? The answer to the question, obviously, is no. But sometimes we think that we can. Sometimes we think that we can bring sin and desires of the flesh up into our bosom and into our mind and just let it come on in, and it's not going to affect our life. We're going to be spiritually minded by bringing carnal-minded things into the mind. It doesn't work that way. To guard your mind, you have to get control of what you're allowing into it. Set up the guard. And do not allow carnal things and things of the flesh into the mind, because all it does is make you more carnally minded, and it just grows and grows and grows. Look at this next phrase from the NIV. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not put out the Spirit's fire. I wanted to use that translation because I like the concept of a fire and putting it out. If any of you ever work with fire, you know you give it wood and it gets bigger. You feed the fire, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So the way I'm wanting you to comprehend this and think of this is that you have the carnal mind over here and the spiritual mind. Now, you can feed the carnal mind and you just get more carnal minded. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Or you can feed the spiritual mind and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more spiritually minded you become, the more you are putting out the fires of the flesh. Do you understand that? The more spiritually minded you become, the more you are putting out the fires and the desires of the flesh. But the opposite is true. If you're growing more carnally minded, it puts out the fires of the Spirit to where the desires of the flesh dominate your life. So which one is going to win? The battle's going on in each and every one of us. Which one of these is going to win in you? And how can you see that the one that is the victor is going to be the spiritual-minded individual? to where you live the Christian life, to where you carry out in your life what you're desiring and willing to do, and not just saying, I'm not going to do it, but you actually stop doing it and actually resist Satan and actually stand in the evil day. In Matthew 6, the verse we looked at this morning, verse 22 to 23, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. You remember we were talking about this morning? To the pure, all things are pure. And so here again, we're seeing the importance of the eye. It's the lamp of the body. Everything comes in through these senses into the mind. And so therefore, you got to get control of the eyes and what you're allowing in. He says in verse 23, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. You see, that's carnal-mindedness. Where the eye is bad, it's carnal-mindedness, and you're full of darkness. He says, if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? We were talking about this in the class this morning, in the sermon this morning. In the context here, he's actually talking about covetousness, that you can't serve God and money. You see, when you have the love of money and covetousness that is controlling your thought processes, and you think, well, that's not dangerous. I can be covetous. I can love money and everything's going to be fine. You need to realize everything's not fine. It's controlling you. It's affecting the way you look and see at everything. But so can be the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh, to where you feed the desires of the flesh and it affects the way you see everyone. It affects your thought processes continually. Or the pride of life, to where you're just a selfish individual and everything you look at is, what you going to do for me? What you going to give me? You see, the darkness is going to affect how you look at everything. And so you got to keep the mind and the eye clear. You have to be spiritually minded. So let me ask you, is it possible to have somebody that has a dark eye and take the dark eyes and make them clear? The answer to that question is this. Yes, you can take someone who is carnally minded and has a dark eye and turn that individual into a spiritually minded individual looking now through clear eyes. But how do you do it? You know, in one word we call that repentance. But how do you do it? Now let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. Psalms 101 verse 3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Your eye is the lamp of the body. It is the primary means through which you are receiving information into the mind that is making up your thought processes. If you're serious about guarding your mind and guarding and keeping your heart, you're going to get control of what you're taking into your mind through your eyes and ears. Got it? If you're serious about self-control and serious about wanting to live the Christian life, not just talk about it, not just come to services, but live the Christian life, you will get control of what you're taking into your mind through your eyes and through your ears. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Look at the next phrase. He talks about how he hates the work of those who fall away. We are living in the age of screens, television screens, computer screens, phone, smartphone screens, iPad screens, and with the touch of a finger, in less than 5 seconds, you can have your mind being pumped full of all the pornography you want, from your televisions to your computers, your iPads, your phones. There's a reason I don't have television in my house. I told you all that last week. I'm going to tell you again. A reason I don't have television in my house is because I'd go to hell if I did. All right? You're going to learn this about me. I'm pretty blunt. And I'm pretty honest. I found myself going to God in prayer saying, Lord, please forgive me for what I watched on TV tonight. And another week would come along and I'd pray to God to forgive me for what I watched on TV tonight. And another week would come along and I'd find myself praying the same prayer. And finally I figured something out. I got a weakness. I'm losing battles. Is that describing you? You need to realize that Hollywood is pumping the minds of Americans with filth. I turn on the television because I've been living in people's houses where they are, and it's worse. I mean, I like watching people, you know, do basically what we call yard selling on a big scale, American pickers. And you want to watch a clean show? And there's the commercials. I didn't care about get it off. I just want to watch something clean. Even if you're trying to watch a clean show, they're going to bombard you with filth in the commercials. Realize that. One of the biggest battles that we're facing right now in the body of Christ this day is pornography pouring into the minds of our men through their computers and their television screens and their iPads. Get rid of it. End of subject. Don't let it in. If you are serious about being a Christian, get rid of it now. And if you can't control your TV, get rid of it. I want to go to heaven. And I knew, and I'm honest with you, if I kept my TV, I would go to hell. Is that pretty clear? Is this where you are? And you're wondering why you're losing the battles. Because you're feeding the fires of the flesh through your screens. And the fire is getting bigger and bigger. And the bigger the fire of the flesh becomes, the more it puts out the desires of the spirit and the fires of the spirit and the spiritual mindedness to where in the end you're just dead. And it totally affects the way you look at everything. Look at the last part of this verse. It shall not cling to me. Have you ever had something gooey on your hands? I hate sticky stuff. But have you ever had something gooey stick to your hands and you just get off? And you just won't let go. That clinging to me is the idea of what you set in front of your eyes. Is clinging to your brain. It's clinging to your thoughts. You can't get it out. It's affecting the way you look at every woman that walks by, or every man that walks by, or everything that you look at. That's carnal mindedness. That's the battle. Are you going to fight, or have you surrendered already? Are you serious about being a Christian or not? If you cannot get control of your screens, get rid of them. I'm serious. After I preached a sermon in Lindell one time, one of the brethren came up to me and he said, I took all my screens and threw them in the ditch. Just took them out behind the house and just threw them all in the creek. Wouldn't you rather go to heaven with no TV than to go to hell with a big screen HD TV? If you can get control of it, good, good, good for you. I wasn't. And I was honest with myself in the end. I still don't want it back. Because the day I got it out, I felt like I got Satan out of my house. And I'm not going to let him back in. I'm not telling you got to get rid of your TVs, but I am telling you, if you can't get control of it, you better get rid of it. 1 Peter 2 and 11. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You see that last part of the verse? It wars against your soul. There's a war taking place here, a battle taking place, and the battleground is your mind. The battleground is the mind. And you need to understand, the spoils of this war is your soul's eternal destiny. Your soul's eternal destiny. You're going to lose battles sometimes, okay? But you must not lose the war. Because if you lose the war, you lose your soul. Fleshly lusts are warring against your soul. Fight against it. Get engaged in the battle. Recognize what is happening in your life. Recognize the carnal mindedness and the spiritual mindedness contrary to one another. And realize that if you're not guarding your heart, it is going to affect the way you think and in the end, the way you live. Abstain from it means abstain. Do not see how close you can get to it and not get burned. You remember what we learned earlier from Proverbs? Can you pick up hot coals and bring it into your chest and not get burned? The answer is no. You cannot take carnal things that are on your screens into your mind and not get burned. It's going to burn you. And it's going to affect your life and your soul. Colossians. Before I read this, I want you to take your Bibles and turn over to Ephesians, is where I'm going right now. I'm going to have some fun with you for a moment. You're down a little bit. Ephesians 5:19. Ephesians 5:19 and actually verse 18 is what I'm going to read first. First, we've talked about what you don't take into the mind here. You don't take wickedness into the mind through your eyes or your ears. But look here. When I say Ephesians 5:19, I imagine half the audience knows what that verse is about. But if you look at verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You see that? Be filled with the Spirit. We're talking about growing spiritually minded. This is talking about being filled with the Spirit. But look at verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, the cross-reference to that is this verse here in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, 15 through 16, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Did you notice the contrast between the two verses? In Ephesians 5:18, it talks about being filled with the Spirit. What I'm trying to help you come to understand is, again, how to feed the fire of the Spirit, how to be filled with the Spirit, how to grow more spiritually minded. Put the two verses together. Here in this text, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then he talks about singing, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There's the answer to the question I keep asking. How do you grow more spiritually minded? Music is a major way of learning information. If you've never learned this about children, if you sing a song to a 2-year-old child, they'll learn all the information in the song. As I told you before, your children are brilliant. They're geniuses. I guarantee you've done this before. You've listened to the radio a few times, and after you listen to a song about 4 or 5 times on the radio, you know every word and even the notes, and you can sing it all the way through. The human mind is an amazing thing. Now, there's many genres of music. Jay knows this about me. I like jazz. I was raised on jazz. And I like classical music, and my sisters brought home the Beatles, and so, yeah, I like rock and roll, too. But I'll tell you this much. I've never drawn closer to God listening to jazz. I've never gotten closer to God, even listening to classical music. It may calm me down a little bit. It doesn't draw me closer to God. Let me ask you, what helps you be filled with the Spirit when it comes to music? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Get control of even what you're listening. If you want to grow more spiritually minded, the choice of your music should be gospel music. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. It is the only music that pulls me to my knees. It is the only music that feeds the Spirit to where the fire is getting bigger and stronger. I told you there's other kinds of music out there. I hate rap. It makes my ears cramp. An opera, my daughter's been trying to get me to like opera. Still haven't got it. And you know what's coming, Jay. The worst thing in the world would be rap opera. If anybody ever comes up with that, they're in trouble. But gospel music. Do you understand that goes back to Ephesians 5:18? To be filled with the Spirit. You want to grow spiritually minded? Turn the radio off. Turn the music that's pumping you intensely to get up and run off. And turn on the gospel music that draws you to God. Listen to it throughout the day, in the beginning of the day, at the end of the day. Listen to it often. I'm telling you, it will affect the way you think. It will help you be more spiritually minded and being filled with the Spirit if you choose to listen to this type of music. And not just that, look at this again, now going back to the Colossian letter, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There's the key and the secret to it. I love reading. I really do. I love reading. I like history the most. I'll figure that out if you ever go into my library. I love history. But to be honest with you, reading American history and Civil War history has never got me closer to God. Not one bit. But sitting down and taking a passage out of the Word of God and reading it and meditating on it and diving into it and soaking it in, it's the only way to get close to God. It is truly the primary way to feed the fires of the Spirit is to take the Holy Spirit-given Word and take that into your mind. Let that fill up your mind and dwell in you richly. Get control of what you're taking into the mind. It's not enough just to not take bad stuff in. You've got to take the Word of God into the mind and take it in intensely, listening to it, reading it. And the more you listen to it, and the more you read it, and the more you listen to the psalms, hymns, and the spiritual songs, the more spiritually minded you become. And as you become more spiritually minded, you start living more spiritually. Do you see? That's the way it works. It works with getting control of the mind to get control of the actions. Now go to Ephesians 6. You take it by your page and just turn it over. There it is. I'm going to read from the outline for you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Earlier we read, and we're going to go back to it, in 2 Corinthians, about the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal. They're mighty in God. It is a spiritual battle we're fighting. If you want to be spiritually strong, you have to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And the way you do that is by putting on the whole armor of God. You're not going to go into battle with just a shield, are you? Huh? Go in there and try to kill somebody with your shield? No, it's not going to work, is it? You've got to put on the entire armor, all of it. He says here in verse 16 and 17, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. All right, so slow down and focus and look at this now. This is the victory that overcomes the world, it says from 1 John. You know the rest of the verse? What's the victory that overcomes the world? Our faith. Our faith. With your faith, produced by the Word of God, you can put out all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What's the fiery darts of the wicked ones? Those are the temptations that he's hitting you with, that he's been hitting you with in the past, that you may have lost the battle in the past, and he's going to hit you there again in the future. Know yourself and know where you're losing the battles. Because the sword of the Spirit, he says here, is the Word of God. You must understand how to use your weapon. Our captain, Jesus Christ, when he was tempted in Matthew 4, every time he was attacked by the enemy, by Satan, he defended himself by pulling the sword out of the sheath and by saying, "It is written." Now think about this. If that's how the Son of God had to use the Word of God to defend himself, who are we to think we can leave the sword in the sheath and we're going to win the battle? You need to recognize where your battles are. Look at this next verse with me. Over in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Look at the first part of this. He's talking about these weapons, and these weapons of our warfare are the same ones we were reading about over there in Ephesians 6. But look what he says about them. They are mighty in God. These are mighty weapons. And with these weapons, you can pull down the stronghold. Do you know what the stronghold is? Everybody here has got one. You may even have more than one. In cities in ancient times, they would have walls. The walls were to keep the enemies out. But if they got past the walls, inside the walls was the stronghold. The stronghold was usually a very tall tower. And they could take over an entire city, but they couldn't take the stronghold because it was so high they couldn't get up to it. And so the enemy would be in there and they would have food for months. And you would think everything was doing fine. All of a sudden, in the middle of the night here, they would come out of the stronghold and start attacking you and killing you and run back into the stronghold. And they were still there. You had run. You had won the battle for the city, but the stronghold was still intact. Do you understand what the stronghold is? I've got a stronghold. You've got a stronghold. The stronghold is where Satan has won the battles the most in your life. Where you have lost the battles time and time and time and time and time again. That's your stronghold that Satan has in your heart and mind. You can pull down the stronghold with the weapons God has given us. You can pull down the stronghold to where it's not there, and it's not going to come out of right field when you think everything is doing fine and take you over again. Because you can pull it down and stomp it out to where it's not there anymore. We can repent. We can change. We can go from having the dark eye to where we put out the fires of the flesh and become more spiritually minded and start having a clear eye. But to do that, you have to put on all the armor of God. You've got to use the weapons God has given you. Learn the sword. Learn the sword well. Find the scriptures that fit your battles. Sit down to the dinner table tonight if you've not done this before. Sit down to the dinner table, get a piece of paper, write your name at the top of it, and write one. And write down your stronghold right there in front of you. Write down where is it I sin the most. And then write two. And write it down. And start writing down your spiritual weaknesses. See yourself the way you really are. The enemy knows you. The enemy knows where he's got you. And he's going to come back there again and again and again until you finally face it and fight against him. And use the shield of faith and use the sword of the Spirit to tear down Satan's stronghold in your heart. If our captain had to quote the verses of the Word of God to defend himself against Satan, I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Find the verses that fit you, that fit your battles. And the next time the enemy comes back, and you know he's coming back, it's not a question of, is he? He's coming back, and he's going to hit you there again. Quote the scripture. It is written. Quote the scripture that fits the battle of the moment. It is written. And focus the mind on the scripture. And then go to the next one and quote it and focus the mind. The weapons God has given us work. We just don't use them. We think we can defeat the enemy with none of the armor. If you don't use the weapons God has given you to defeat Satan, you're going to lose the war and lose your soul. I'm trying to show you how to get self-control. And it starts with you being more spiritually minded, seriously, becoming engaged with the Word of God intensely, to where it's dwelling in you richly. And you're using the whole armor of God. And with your faith, there comes a time when the temptation that you've given into in the past comes, and this time you say, no! And you don't sin. And you stand in the evil day. Brethren, we can stand in the evil day. We can tear down the stronghold. And we can get to the point to where we're bringing every thought into captivity and control to the obedience of Christ. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 20. Therefore you shall lay these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Do you understand what the Lord is wanting them to do here with his word? Basically, you put his word wherever you're going to be looking. You have it on your house. You have it all over the house. You even have it on your body. Wherever you look, there's the word of God. Why? Why is it so important to keep the Word of God foremost in our mind? Because that is the primary way that we are going to be spiritually minded. Is by taking the Holy Spirit-given Word and letting it dwell in our mind richly. There's so many forms of entertainment, so many forms of information that are wanting your mind's attention. Many of them are not sinful. Like I told you, I like jazz. I don't think it's sinful. I don't think classical is sinful. Now, there's some words and some songs that are sinful. You shouldn't be listening to those, okay? But I've never gotten close to God listening to jazz or even classical music. If you're serious about wanting to get self-control, you need to get some good gospel music that you can listen to, and listen to, and listen to, and listen to. You need to find a quiet place where you can go and take the Word of God and find the verses that hit where you are in your life right now, and read them, and meditate on them, and read them, and meditate on them. Feed the Spirit, feed the fire. Let the fire get bigger and bigger. to where you're more and more and more and more and more spiritually minded. And as you become more and more spiritually minded, you will put out the fires of the flesh and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh because you are spiritually minded. That's how you have self-control. It starts with the mind. Keep it with all diligence, because from it spring all the issues of life. I appreciate your kind attention. There may be somebody here this evening who is not a member of the one body. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to confess your faith and repent of your sins, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the one body for the remission of your sins. The lesson tonight hit all of us, unless you're a child. It hit you, I guarantee you. It hit me. I still have strongholds. I still got work to do. Take this lesson and apply it to your life, please. Because if you do not get control of yourself, you're going to keep losing the battles. And if you keep losing the battles, in the end, you will lose the war and you will lose your soul. I'm trying to show you how to fight the battles and stand in the evil day. How to put on the whole armor of God and be strong in the Lord and the power of His might and pull down Satan's stronghold that's in your heart. If you realize you've lost battles and there's sin between you and your God that you haven't dealt with, we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. As your family, we'll do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you so that in the future, hopefully, you will be stronger and be able to resist Satan in the future better than you have in the past. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know. We'll stand and sing the song which has been selected.